All right, well, good morning and welcome here. Good to have you here. Here's the question that we're asking for the sermon today. The question is, what are elders? Bet that's the question you woke up with on your mind this morning, right? What are elders? Even that word, when we hear that word, what's the image that comes to your mind? Is it, you know, those well-dressed, polite young men with the tucked-in white shirts and the ties and the little badges, elder? You know, Bob, elder, whatever, is it we're talking about elderly people? What do we mean, and what does this mean? Why are we talking about this today in this Church Basics series? That's what we're looking at. What are elders? And today we're wrapping up the series that we've been on the church, and we started with, let's see if you can remember, what did we talk about first? We talked about becoming a Christian, repenting and believing in the good news of Jesus. That's how somebody becomes a Christian. And then we talked about baptism, where those who believe in Jesus identify with the gospel publicly. And then we talked about church membership, how those who became Christians and were baptized identified with a community, a gospel community, a local church. And then we looked at the Lord's Supper last week, where we saw that the church is to observe this remembrance of Jesus' death, his body and blood given for us. And that's a time when we renew our commitment. We're going to do that, Lord willing, at the end of this service. We're going to observe communion and remember Jesus Christ, our Savior, and renew our commitment to him together. And today, we're going to finish this series off talking about elders. What are elders? And what we're going to see is that elders are biblically called to lead the church, to equip the church, and to ensure that it continues to be a witness to the gospel in its life together. I'm just going to look at one verse today. That's actually not true. We're going to focus on one verse. We're going to look at some other verses. But if you have a Bible, you can turn to Acts chapter 20, verse 28. I really want to introduce this topic today, looking at one verse. There's so much to say, but I just want to introduce this, get you thinking about it, looking at it biblically. Page 988 in the Pew Bible. So if you brought your own Bible on your phone or whatever, you could turn there, or you can grab the Pew Bible in front of you, turn to page 988, Acts chapter 20, verse 28. And if you're new, the big numbers are the chapter numbers, and the little numbers are the verse numbers. So big number 20. And then little number 28, that's verse 28. I'm going to read it, and I'm going to explain a bit of the context. This is the Apostle Paul, and he's speaking to the elders of the church at Ephesus. And that was a port city on the Mediterranean Sea in what is now Turkey. And Paul himself, he was a missionary. He was preaching about Jesus. He went from place to place, and there was a church in Ephesus that began through his preaching. And he came back and visited there again and spent a good deal of time preaching and teaching in Ephesus. And now Paul's going to head for Jerusalem, and he knows that there are troubles there for him, and he knows that he's not going to be back to Ephesus. And so he summons the elders of the church. We see that in verse 17. He calls for them, and these are his last words to them, words of deep affection and concern and warning and instruction. And here's what he says. Verse 28, he says, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and ask that you would help us to understand these words and relate them to our church and our lives. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, there's a ton that we can learn about elders, but the first thing that we're going to see today, very simply, is that they are overseers called by God. Okay, three things. This is the first one. Overseers called by God. So if you go back to verse 17, you see that Paul summoned the elders of the church at Ephesus. And and that they are called overseers, right, who the Holy Spirit has appointed as overseers. So what's an overseer? An overseer is somebody who, I looked at, you know, our dictionary definition, somebody who oversees others, especially workers. So some of you, how many of you, you are an overseer? You are responsible for other people, okay? Some of you, how many of you have an overseer at work who you are responsible to? Okay, that's a lot of us. There are overseers, they are responsible, they look at the big picture, overseers make plans, they strategize, they come up with, they have to make decisions, they provide leadership, they provide direction. And so in the same way that we need overseers for things to work, we just do, right? We need people to be responsible. Some of us, we like to work in our area, but please don't ask me to be responsible. Like, I'll work in the kids' club for the summer, but do not ask me to oversee it, because that's a lot of responsibility for that, and I don't want to do that. But we need overseers, don't we, in this world? And in the same way, we need overseers in the church. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 5, this is what Peter says. I'll just read it. You could maybe jot it down to look at later. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 3, Peter says, "I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and witness to the sufferings of Christ, as well as one who shares in the glory about to be revealed, shepherd God's flock among you, not overseeing out of compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not out of greed for money, but eagerly, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock." And so here's this picture of a biblical overseer. Not a supreme leader who has all authority. No, that's not what we're talking about. Not a pope who just tells you what you should believe. Not a sort of "you will do whatever I say" kind of leader, but an overseer who is under the oversight of Jesus Christ, who's called the chief shepherd in the Bible. In fact, 1 Peter 2:25, Jesus is called the overseer of our souls. Jesus is the overseer. He's the shepherd, chief shepherd over the church, and any overseer in the church is subject to the leadership and authority of Jesus Christ. So notice that both in 1 Peter 5 and in this verse we're looking at, Acts chapter 20, verse 28, elders are called overseers and shepherds. Do you see that? So there are three titles, and they're referring to the same office, the same position. They're interchangeable. So you got elder, that's presbyteros. Can you think of a denomination? Presbyterians, right? So they get the Presbyterian denomination comes from that word presbyteros, elder, governed, and then you've got overseer, which is episkopos. Can you think of another denomination? Episcopalian church, right? Where they have bishops. So overseer and bishop are often used to refer to that same position. And then you've got shepherd or poimen, which we call pastor. We get that from the Latin word for a shepherd, which is pastor. And so we've got these three terms, right? Elder, overseer, pastor, or shepherd, and they all refer to the same position in the church. And here's what I want you to see. Notice that they're referred to in the plural, like with an S on the end. Elders, overseers. There are more than one. In fact, when you look in the New Testament, when the word elder is used in the context of the church and instructions about the church, it's almost, if not always, in the plural. More than one. And so, in Acts chapter 14, 23, Paul and Barnabas appoint elders, plural, in each church. So in each church, elders. Later in the book of Acts, Paul meets with the elders of the church in Jerusalem. One church, more than one elder. In his letter to the Philippians, Paul addresses the overseers and deacons. Okay, you've got overseers slash elders slash pastors and deacons. Deacons do more of the practical kind of serving work, helping the elders in leading the church. But again, more than one overseer. And then James, in the book of James chapter 5, verse 14, James says that anyone who is sick should call the elders, again, plural, to pray over him. And so you see this pattern in the New Testament of leadership, that there be in each church more than one elder, overseer, pastor. This doesn't mean they all need to be full-time paid pastors. They don't need to get a salary. In fact, there's nothing in the Bible, I've got to be careful what I say here, there's nothing in the Bible that says a church needs to have a full-time paid pastor. Yikes. Sorry, honey. She's worried. She's nervous. There's nothing that says you have to pay a pastor. The Bible says the church needs a pastor. In fact, pastors. I don't know what the stats are, but I would guess that there are maybe most churches in the world don't have a paid pastor, or at least a full-time paid pastor. But before I talk myself out of a job, there is a biblical argument for a paid pastor. I think that's found in 1 Timothy 5:17, because Paul says that the elders who work hard at preaching and teaching are to be considered worthy of double honor. And that double honor doesn't mean like double the amount of compliments. It's a phrase that actually refers to payment. And so even back then, we see that if a church can afford to set someone aside for full-time ministry, then the church is going to benefit. Church doesn't have to do that, but if it can, it's a good idea. And yet we see this distinction in the New Testament between those elders who would give their full time to the work and those who would be on a more voluntary sort of part-time basis, making their living in some other way, but still being elders in the church. And so that's the pattern that we see. We see multiple elders in local New Testament churches. So the question is, why more than one? Why do we need more than one? Well, look at the verse. Paul says, be on guard for yourselves and all the flock. I mean, more than one shepherd is good, right? If the sheep can be in danger, and think about it, he says, be on guard for yourselves. So a pastor by himself, it's harder for him to guard himself, right? Because pastors are flawed. They're sinners. And a pastor who doesn't have other leaders to kind of point out those sins, hold on, I know the congregation can do that, and there are many people who speak into my life, but it's important that elders are able to hold each other accountable. In fact, when I was in Portland, visited a church called The Gathering, and I went to an elders meeting, and I have this accountability form, which is remarkable. They began their elder meeting with this accountability form. They all had to pair up and fill out this form. It asked questions like this. It talked about your consistency in personal devotions, battling against ungodly thoughts, your energy for the week, your feelings of effectiveness. Did you take a day off? Have you been with a woman in a compromising way this past week? Have your financial dealings been filled with integrity? Have you viewed sexually explicit material? Are you struggling with depression? And then it ends with like, you know, how's your family, joy, harmony, any other comments, anything else we can pray for? And then signature at the bottom, okay? Just so it's like, yeah, you're not lying to us, right? That was amazing, because here were these elders, and they were saying, man, we're sinners. We got to look out for ourselves first. That's what Paul's talking about. Be on guard for yourselves and all the flock, right? Kind of like the mask, you know, in the plane, when the decompression, the mask comes down, put your oxygen mask on you first, then on those who need assistance, because we need to watch ourselves. Like so it's wise. It's wise to have more than one elder, pastor. Phil Newton wrote a book on this, and he said this, quote, talking about the benefits of more than one elder in a church. Quote, no one man possesses all the gifts necessary for leading a congregation. Some men are endowed with strong pulpit gifts but lack effective pastoral skills. Others excel in pastoral work of visiting and counseling, but are not as strong when it comes to the pulpit. Some have unusual abilities in organizing and administrating the ministries of the church, but falter in pulpit and counseling skills. Some, to be sure, are multi-gifted and capable of doing different things, but the strain of tending to the entire ministry needs of the church can quickly deplete even the most gifted men. So a plurality of elders provides a much stronger and more balanced ministry to the church. It also makes the church less dependent on paid pastors, so that if something happens, the church doesn't fall apart. You don't have to like Google, find a pastor for this Sunday. You know, you got a bullpen of support to provide relief and help. So many other things we could talk about the wisdom of that, but we also need to see that these overseers are called by God. It's exactly what Paul says, you were appointed, the Holy Spirit appointed you. How do we recognize those who are called to be elders? Well, we've got qualifications listed. We're not going to look at those. We don't have time today. That's another sermon. But 1 Timothy chapter 3, Titus chapter 1 just talks about the overall life of a leader in the church, not perfect, but exemplary. Someone who is Christ-like in character and growing. God ultimately is the one who provides leaders in the church. And what this means for us is that we should seek not just to kind of like, you know, who can we have as a leader, who can we have as an elder in the church, but we should be recognizing who God is already calling to that role, right? Who meets these qualifications? Who's already someone who has shepherding qualities, right? Who is someone who is already taking spiritual responsibility for others in the congregation? And it also means that we should pray. We should pray and ask God to provide leaders, the leaders that we need in our church. So we've seen that elders are called by God as overseers. There's something else that we see here in this verse. They're called to shepherd the flock. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as overseers to shepherd the church of God. If you keep reading the context, he says, verse 29, I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Men will rise up even from your own number and distort the truth to lure the disciples into following them. So Paul is deeply burdened for this church, right? He says, you know, you've heard the saying, as the leaders go, so go the people. And Paul understands that without biblically qualified elders in place, the church is like this flock of fluffy, juicy sheep, unprotected by wolves. And so elders are called to provide oversight in the church, but they're called to shepherd the church. And that word shepherd there, I mean, it's hard to understand what that means because we don't, you know, we haven't done that. We don't really see shepherds except Art Paul's, you know. Some of you may have sheep or you've owned sheep before. You know something about sheep, but, you know, we know enough to know that a shepherd has to feed the sheep, right? They have to feed the sheep. They have to take care of the sheep, and elders do that with the word of God. Pastor, elder, overseers feed the sheep with God's truth. This is why an elder, according to Paul in 1 Timothy and Titus, he says an elder has to be able to teach. Doesn't have to be a great preacher, but he has to be able to handle God's word and feed God's sheep. He has to have a grasp of God's truth. But shepherds feed, they also guard, right? They care for the sick sheep, the weak sheep. They protect them from the wolves because those are the ones that are especially vulnerable. They correct and train. They pray for the sheep. And they set an example for them in their daily lives. And elders are called to do these things so that the church should be strong. Paul says in the context of instructions about elders and deacons, he says, the purpose is that so that the church will be the pillar and foundation of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 3:15. That's the goal. a strong church, right? Elders are tasked with keeping God's word in the driver's seat, right? God's truth needs to drive and lead the church, and elders are to make sure that that happens so that the church keeps growing in holiness and obedience to God, so that the church shines brightly in the world, so that, that there's a witness to Jesus Christ, so that the gospel continues to be not only preached but also lived out. That's the job of the elders, to make sure that that keeps happening. We live in a really interesting time in the history of the church. In the ancient Near East, in many parts of the world, Christians don't have many church options, right? You've got, some people are lucky if there's one church in their village that they can get to, you know, without a car, they can walk to. But we have so many options, don't we? We have so many options. We, you know, if you have your own personal transportation unit, you can go to any church in the city. Right? Or you don't have to leave your house. You can stay home and watch a preacher on TV, or at any time on the internet. You can download a sermon from a preacher who is a lot better than me. Let's just be honest. I mean, you've got world-class preaching, a few clicks of the mouse or your phone, and you're good. And yet, you cannot download a shepherd. There's no app for that, right? And I think there are so many Christians who just don't have a shepherd, right? They watch preaching, they attend church or churches, but they don't have, they're not known, they're not really cared for, they've never actually joined a church, they haven't become part of a community, and so they kind of float around, and they don't have a shepherd. You know, it's coming to a church and saying, you know, I want to be counted. I want to be a sheep recognized here. I want shepherds. I want someone, even though I don't really want this, if I go off the rails and I start living a non-Christian life and I don't show up for a year, I want someone to come after me. You don't have a shepherd, no one's coming after you. Even in a congregation like this of about 200 members, it's hard to shepherd well. It's not easy. You know, I recognize that the Bible says that leaders are to somehow give an account to God for the sheep. And some of the members of this church I don't even know very well. You know, there's, you know, time for the sermon, time for administration. I can visit some people, and usually the people who need visits, so, you know, I'll start with them. And yet there are other people that they're doing okay, I think. And yet I don't really know them, and it's hard, it's frustrating, and this is another reason why we need more than one. We need like a team of shepherd, elder, overseers to be out there with the people, having lunch, having coffee, visiting. You know, we've got people, we have members of this church who have not attended in over a year. And I'm trying to find them, and I need help finding them. And talking to them and encouraging and correcting. And shepherds are so important for God's sheep. And here's why. Thirdly, because this is the flock for which Christ died. Paul says, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." That's serious. Purchased with his own blood, the cost that Jesus paid by his death on the cross to redeem us and bring us to God. If you look at this verse closely, it might be puzzling because, you know, when it says God, does that refer to God the Father? We know God the Father didn't die. It was God the Son. It's possible that the Greek, his own blood, could be translated the blood of his own, like the blood of his own son. It's also possible that God in this verse refers to Jesus, who is himself God and head of the church. But either way, it's clear this is all about Jesus' death for our sins. That's what Paul is saying. That's the cost that Jesus paid. Remember, these are Paul's last words to these elders in the church at Ephesus. And so he punctuates this solemn charge with the most weighty reality. The church that you are called to shepherd was paid for in blood. The blood of Jesus. It took nothing less than the death of God's Son to bring lost sheep home. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says it like this: "We all went astray like sheep. We've all turned to our own way, and the Lord has punished him for the iniquity of us all." And so here's the irony, that the great and beautiful irony of the Bible is that Jesus, who is the great shepherd of the sheep, he himself laid his life down for the sheep, for the same sheep who have wandered from him, the same sheep who have rejected him and said, "I don't want a shepherd. I will be shepherd of my own life. Thank you very much. I don't need you. I'm going to go my own way." When you think of a sheep that does that, is that what a sheep thinks as it wanders? Things are going to go well for me now that I have no shepherd and I can be my own shepherd. Jesus laid his life down for the same sheep who turned from him and rejected him. Peter says it like this, 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring you to God." You know, the most important question, even more than what are elders, the most important question for anyone here today is Jesus my shepherd? Have I turned away from my sins, and have I put my trust in him as my shepherd, the one who died for me, the one who cares for me, the one who loves me, the one who deserves authority in my life because he purchased me with his own blood? Jesus is the great shepherd who laid his life down for the sheep, and the cost he paid means the church must be valuable to God. Exceedingly valuable. If Jesus shed his blood for the church, Paul says this in Ephesians, loved the church. Jesus loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy. Then to oversee and shepherd a local church is very serious business. Elder/overseer/pastors are to shepherd the flock until the sheep are safely home with the chief shepherd. John gives us a picture of this in the revelation that he received. Revelation chapter 7, verse 17, John writes, "For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." That is the destination of the sheep, and yet until that day, we still need elders, overseers, pastors, right? We're always going to need elders in local churches until all the sheep are home safely, and those elders need to make sure that the gospel is preached, that disciples are being made, that the wounded are being cared for, that sin is being dealt with, that new leaders are being trained, that the saints are being equipped to serve and glorify God and share the gospel with the world in need. This is the job that elders have. This is the job that they need to do and to keep on doing until the Lord returns or calls them home. And it's a job worth doing. As Paul writes, "If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task." Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus, our shepherd, who laid down his life for us, that we can be yours. Thank you for this church that you care about and love so deeply, that you sent your son to die for us. And so, Father, help us as a church to increasingly listen to your word and conform to it for our good and ultimately for your glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.